Okay, today is 21 November. It's Sunday. It's time for the CG report. No return to normality. That and a lot of other things to go over on today's report. Okay, let's see here. Before we get started, I got some people I'd like to recognize. The first is Eric, who just walked out the door, but he's with his wife. Yeah, he's got to go check on their dog. If you hear a dog barking, that's their dog out there. It's Eric and Clara Stogner. Did I pronounce that right? Okay. And they came down yesterday to visit just until tomorrow. And I'll tell you about that in just a sec, what happened to them, because at the same time, we had Buddy and Cindy and their children, Isaac and Aaron Butler, all came down also. They all drove on the highway to come south to Sarasota, and they all got stuck until late. It was all the way from the border, you said, from the Florida border all the way down to Ocala, and even afterward, they were stuck, and so they didn't get here until late. I mean, I was supposed to meet Eric and Clara for dinner last night, and that didn't happen. And so I'm sorry about that. And well, there you go. This is what happens when you come to Florida, I guess, during the tourist season. Maybe it's because there were so many people coming. You know, I don't know, but they were really jammed and there were no accidents or anything.
It's our governor.
Yeah, our governor's fault? Yeah. Oh, people want to move here because of our governor. I was going to say, what are you, crazy? But yeah, there you go. Yeah, we got a great governor. We support him. We think he's just the best. So there you go with that. Now, I may not, when I post photos, I may not get Buddy's wife and children in a photo because they already left. And so if I don't, I apologize. But I usually get those before. But he came in. Buddy came in and he brought his guitar from Ohio. And he just played the most wonderful music for us. And we're so appreciative of it. It was wonderful to hear him sing. And I'd like to tell you that if you would like to check him out, he started a YouTube channel just recently. It's all you need to do is type in Buddy Butler, BuddyButler, and that'll pull up his channel. You'll see a guy with a chrome dome like me. You'll know that's him. He's sitting there at a guitar playing, and just subscribe to that channel. And I know that he will bless you. And as he puts up more songs, they're very professionally done. He's got a studio that he plays in. It's really, really nice to see. So please subscribe to that channel. And let's see here. We got some news from Israel today. From the Times of Israel, Israel, UAE, Bahrain, U.S. hold major Red Sea drill to counter Iran's aggression. The navies of Israel, the U.S., the UAE, and Bahrain launched a joint exercise. This is last week in the Red Sea in response to their shared adversary Iran's presence and aggression in the waters of the Middle East, a senior Israeli naval official said. This Iranian presence is something that we need to push back as much as possible from the state of Israel, from the Red Sea, from the areas that harm our freedom to sail. In order to do that, we need to make our partnerships tighter. Now, I would like to remind you that that would not have happened 2 years ago without Donald Trump as our president, having those two other, the UAE and Bahrain, join with Israel. But here it's happening. Here, the goal is to extend the range of the Navy's operations for the good of the State of Israel and the IDF, to extend our ability to detect threats, to extend our sailing range, to prevent naval terror, and also to retaliate when we must, when it's needed, against what the Iranians are doing. Since February, Iran and Israel have been accused of engaging in what analysts have called a naval shadow war, in which vessels linked to each nation have come under attack in waters around the Persian Gulf and the Gulf of Oman in a series of tit-for-tat exchanges. The officer said that unlike much of its efforts in the region, which are conducted through proxies, Iran is more independent at sea, conducting operations with its own forces. All right, from all Israel, 10,600 booster breakthrough infections in Israel. How can that be? This is supposed to be the cure for this thing, and you've got these breakthroughs? I reject that. It can't be. While several European nations head into a lockdown as COVID surges again, Israel is still enjoying relatively low infections in comparison after administering more than 4 million booster shots to its 9.3 million population. However, more than 10,000 people who took the booster have been infected with COVID since then. 10,600 out of 4 million people who received the third jab is only 0.27%. Well, I'd like to remind you that that's about the death rate for people if you don't take it anyway. So, I mean, it's just like the flu when it comes to this. Yeah. It's a little more potent, apparently. It's very painful. We've had people in the church that have had it, and they say that it's not something you want to mess with. But at the same time, I'm not sure if all the world being shut down the way it is worth it. By late August, early September, Israel was recording pandemic high in the number of daily infections. The wide implementation of the booster shot was credited with tamping down the infection levels and bringing us to a current lull. The strong effectiveness of the Pfizer vaccine, citing health ministry statistics, show that 12% of those hospitalized people are fully vaccinated. That's 12% of the people are fully vaccinated that shouldn't be in there. That's 23 people on Friday, compared to 80% of those hospitalized, 160 who are unvaccinated. In addition, those 23 of them who are fully vaccinated with a booster out of 4 million vaccinated people means that only 0.0057% were hospitalized. This should be compared to 160 people out of 700,000 unvaccinated individuals, which is 0.023%. No one said that the vaccine is 100% able to stop infections. It's actually not able at all to stop infections. Bill Gates and Anthony Fauci have both said that in the past 10 days. The question remains, however, with nearly 11,000 breakthrough cases despite the booster, and with uncertainty as to how long the third shot maintains efficacy, will Israel head into a fifth wave in the coming months? So, take that how you want to take it. I'm just telling you that these things are not as they were originally advertised, and it's been admitted by both, as I said, Gates and Fauci in the past 10 days. So, yeah, that's right. From the Times of Israel, for a second time in a month, IDF fighter jets escort U.S. bombers through the region. Good stuff. Times of Israel, is that kosher? Rabbis debate plant-based pork. They're debating whether you can eat plant-based pork. It's made out of plants, but it's called pork, and they're debating if you can have it. Yeah. Fake cheeseburgers are one thing, but impossible pork was just too much to stomach for one authority. My thought is that is absolutely pointless. Nothing replaces the real thing. Get your bacon today, kids. All right, we got some news concerning Christianity. Before I give you our first article, Karen Sadazan finished all of Exodus. I want to congratulate her on that. And I don't know what she's going into next, but it's a real joy to have people email me and say that they finished an entire book from the Law of Moses, because there's a lot of sermons in some of those books. Genesis is over 100, and then Exodus is, 80 or something? It adds up. Anyway, there you go. And before I give you our first article, I would like to announce if anybody is looking for a job. Now, I'm going to say this before I read this, okay? I did not source this. It could be a big liberal organization. I don't know, but a friend that lives in Helena, Montana, asked me to announce that they need a person in this particular ministry, this type of work. And so if this is something that interests you, I would hope that you would source and make sure that you're getting into a ministry you feel fits your doctrine. But she asked me to read this. It's Chief Executive Officer of Intermountain in Helena, Montana. I will stay in Florida where it stays nice and warm. But this is there. If you want to know about that, you can email me and I will send you the link to it. It's got the salary and benefits. It's got the requirements and executive summary, qualifications needed. You got to have a master's level degree in a relevant field or a combination of education and experience, etc. So it's a ministry that she is aware of, and she asked me to say that. Once again, I did not source this, and so I would like you to do your own due diligence and not send me an email saying, hey, you're promoting something that is whatever. Okay, don't do that. I'm just reading this because my friend asked me to read this, and it's in Helena, Montana. And what's that? Helena, whatever. It's like Oregon and Oregon. I'm sorry, it's got an O. I call it Oregon. Last week, apparently, I called Loudoun County, and it's actually Loudoun or Loudoun. Loudoun. Okay, those kind of things don't really interest me. I just say what's on the paper, and if I'm wrong, but Helena, is that right? Okay, Helena. All right, here we go. We're going to go on to, once again, what is it called? Impossible pork? Doesn't interest me at all. We're going to go on, and we're going to stick with the bacon. Okay, we have some news from Christianity. Breitbart. Pope Francis says global reset is real. No return to normality after the pandemic. He said this. Humanity needs a global reset because the unjust pre-pandemic world is not worth going back to, Francis asserted. In a message to the Paris Forum on Peace, he painted a dire picture of a pre-coronavirus world dominated by corruption, war, and capitalist oppression. If he thinks it's bad now, just wait until he gets into the tribulation period, because he will be going through that if he lives long enough. All right, so it says, yeah, absolutely. Okay, the reality we knew before the pandemic was that wealth and economic growth were reserved for a minority, while millions of people were unable to meet the most basic needs and lead a dignified life. Jesus said, you will always have the poor with you. A world in which our earth was plundered by a myopic exploitation of resources. Have you seen the Pope Mobile lately? Have you seen the Vatican? I mean, this guy is hypocrite extraordinaire, okay? By pollution, by disposable consumerism, and wounded by wars and experiments with weapons of mass destruction. This guy has no idea how the world works. He gets his dinner served to him every single night. He gets his breakfast served to him on a silver platter every single morning. All of that had to come from somewhere, and somebody had to produce it, somebody had to package it, somebody had to ship it, etc. Then he's telling us that we need to change our lives when he lives like the King of Kings or something. Yes. He's a total hypocrite. Return to normal would also mean a return to old social structures inspired by self-sufficiency. What's the matter with that? Nationalism, protectionism, individualism, no individualism, what? And isolation and excluding our poorest brothers and sisters. Is this a future we can choose? Well, I tell you, the future that is coming upon that guy is going to be something he will not want to even contemplate at this point. All right? Our conscience calls us not to follow the easy way of returning to a normality marked by injustice, but to accept the challenge of assuming the crisis as a concrete opportunity for conversion to what? Transformation, to rethink our lifestyle and our economic and social system. He said. He's a communist. The guy is a communist, and he should not be listened to by anybody. Zero Hedge. Vatican loses. Talk about commercialism. Talk about money. Vatican loses $135 million in shady London property deal amid allegations of massive fraud. After a scandal that has dragged on for more than a year and led to the firing of one of the Holy See's most senior officials, I would call it the unholy See's most senior officials, over a handful of shady London property deals that were bleeding millions in losses, the Vatican has finally decided to rip the Band-Aid off and sell a luxury office building in London's Knightsbridge neighborhood for a loss of $135 million. Think of all the people that gave to that church. Gave to that church expecting their money to be used for something useful.
Yes.
And this kind of nonsense goes on. If you remember the report I did on that, the things that were going on in that building, hell on earth is the only way you can describe it. It certainly wasn't a heavenly thing they were doing with people in that building. The Hill. Biden administration proposes rescinding Trump rule, expanding religious exemptions. The Biden admin announced a proposal that seeks to rescind a Trump-era rule that expanded religious exemptions for federal contractors related to anti-discrimination laws. The rule, which has been in effect since January 8th, exempted federal contractors from abiding by anti-discrimination law if they hold themselves out to the public as carrying out a religious purpose. Before the expansion was put in place, the exemption was only available for a smaller subset of religious groups. The rule, released during the Trump admin, said it was meant to correct any misperception that religious organizations are disfavored in government contracting by setting forth appropriate protections for their autonomy to hire employees who will further their religious missions. That will now be gone because of our current administration. Okay, some news here from the Mideast and Africa today, from the Epoch Times, Department of Homeland Security. Now think about this. Think about this title and what's going on in the southern border, okay? Al-Qaeda and ISIS-linked terrorists exploiting online presence to encourage attacks in the United States. Now, if they're doing this online, do you think that they're not also flying their little bombardiers over to South America and just having them walk over the border where nobody is checking anything? The DHS issued a terrorism advisory warning that Al-Qaeda and ISIS-linked terrorists are likely to maintain an online presence in an attempt to inspire U.S.-based individuals to engage in violent activity following the withdrawal of U.S. troops from Afghanistan. In its latest NTAS bulletin, the DHS warned that violent extremist media branches of Al-Qaeda and its affiliates, as well as the ISIS, have celebrated perceived victories over the United States following the 20th anniversary of 9/11 attacks and the U.S. withdrawal from Afghanistan. The terror groups have also used their online presence to encourage the use of violence by their followers and supporters to further their objectives. The type of content we're seeing ranges from videos to online magazines. The videos will very often contain very graphic and violent content. I wonder what that means. A technique used for years now by the Islamic State and Al-Qaeda-related media operations when seeking to inspire acts of violence. Well, we know that we've got all kinds of people in South America. Hezbollah is stationed down there, and all they need to do is hear a little thing in Arabic from their buddies over in Afghanistan, and they'll say, I'm going to join that crusade and head north. Nobody's checking the borders, folks. Zero Hedge. China gets 500,000 barrels of Iranian oil every day, violating U.S. sanctions as Biden looks the other way. Now, when Trump was in, they got nothing. Zero. They were down to almost no money at all. They were down to their last $1 billion. I read an article just a week ago that they now have a surplus of over $32 billion. So they're going up, 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 up in their wealth. They would have been crushed and done within a few days, probably, if Trump had stayed in. Instead, they're back in terror central. Let's see here. For the past several years, Iran has been subject to crippling oil export sanctions. But that is news to China, whose imports of Iranian oil have held above 500,000 barrels per day on average for the last 3 months. Our gas prices are going out of sight, right? Traders and ship tracking firms told Reuters as Chinese buyers judge that getting crude at cheap prices outweighs any risks from busting U.S. sanctions, especially when the Biden admin is unlikely to wake up from his afternoon nap and do anything to punish China for violating the terms of the draconian embargo. Indeed, as Reuters notes, Chinese purchases of Iranian crude have continued this year despite the sanctions that, if enforced, would allow Washington to cut off those who violate them from the U.S. economy. Well, seeing as how the guy in the White House right now is completely sold out to China, this doesn't matter to him at all. Okay, I was reading an article this morning. I don't want to give the details wrong, but it was basically we used to have a cobalt mine in Africa, and his son, Hunter, got that transferred over to the Chinese, and so now they have this giant massive cobalt wealth down there that they can deal with, which is needed for the batteries and stuff for these cars. So there you go. We got basically traders in the White House and related to the people in the White House, and that's what's going on in the world. Okay, well, normally it would be odd that a nation would so flagrantly flaunt terms of sanctions imposed by the world superpower. In this case, virtually nobody bats an eyelid that Joe 10% for the big guy Biden, whose son has long been a conduit for unofficial Chinese back-channeling to Joe, and having purchased tens of millions in family favors, the White House has no choice but to look the other way and has chosen not to enforce the sanctions against Chinese individuals and companies amid negotiations that could revive a 2015 nuclear deal that would allow Iran to sell its oil openly again. after a dip in June and July from a record high in May as buyers ran low on import permits. Chinese independent refiners embraced Iran's cheaper crude again as the government released fresh quotas, the traders and ship tracking sources said. From the Washington Free Beacon, Iran-backed militants storm U.S. embassy in Yemen. Now, just so you know, we don't have active people in Yemen. Okay, we closed that embassy, but we have people that work at that embassy that are local nationals still. So this is still an attack against the United States of America. It's our property. It is the U.S. Anytime you have an embassy. When I worked at the embassy in Malaysia, I was U.S. property. Wherever I walked, they couldn't do anything to me. If I killed somebody, all they could do is deport me because I am U.S., okay? The U.S. embassy, wherever you are, is property of the U.S. It is not to be violated. And they have, and it hardly made any news at all. So I thought I'd tell you about it. The State Department is working to secure the release of several kidnapped hostages taken by Iran-backed terrorists just a day after the militant group stormed the U.S. embassy facility in Sana'a, Yemen. A group of Houthi rebels reportedly stormed the U.S. compound, seeking large quantities of equipment and materials. The raid comes just 5 days after Houthis kidnapped Yemeni nationals who work for the U.S. embassy. The alleged raid comes after the Houthis kidnapped 3 Yemeni nationals affiliated with the embassy from one of the employees' private residences in Sana'a. The State Department confirmed that the Yemeni staffers are being detained without explanation and that the Iran-backed militants stole property after breaching the American facility in Sana'a, which housed U.S. Embassy staff prior to the suspension of operations there in 2015. Now, as I said, this is our property, and this happened about a week and a half ago, but nothing will be done about this. Nothing. They're just going to let it go. From NTD, EU accuses Belarus of gangster methods as illegal immigrants attempt to force their way into Poland. I don't know if you've been paying attention to this. I'm just giving you the title so you know what's going on. But they've got a real mess over there right now. And Russia's kind of pushing it. It's a bad situation. This could really devolve quickly. And then from the Wall Street Journal, Europe weighs border walls as migrants mass in Belarus at Poland's frontier. Border walls? No. I was told they don't work, so why bother?
Exactly.
Okay, as we span the globe, we try to never miss something interesting from Mongolia. From ABC, Russia resumes flights with more countries amid COVID surge. Russia said that it will resume allowing air travel to Argentina, Bangladesh, Brazil, Costa Rica, and Mongolia starting December 1st. There you go. That's your Mongolia news for the week. The Book of Daniel prophesied that technology would increase in the end times. What's up in that regard? Okay, from Reclaim the Net. New patent proposes digital surveillance to vaccinate people based on social credit style scores. Patent and trademark attorneys Dr. Gal Ehrlich and Meyer Fenster recently had a U.S. patent approved for a technology that aims to surveil people via their digital activity, give them a score that defines the potential level of super spreading activity of each individual, and then vaccinate people based on this score. The patent proposes collecting a wide range of personal information from sources such as mobile devices, apps, social media, web browsing, records, payment records, medical records, employment records, the government, and surveillance cameras. Now, before I go on, we have something in this country called the Constitution. We have the Bill of Rights. And we also have, surprisingly, the ACLU, who would stand up against this. Despite being a bunch of lefties, they believe in individual rights to a certain point. That won't happen here. But this is being put out. They have a patent on this. And countries that want to use this will use this, and it will become a standard that eventually will take over in America, too, when we lose all of those rights. But for right now, we'll go on. It also suggests collecting highly specific personal information via these sources, such as precise location data, the length of time people spend at the locations they visit, the ventilation rate of the places people visit, images of people looking at the screen of their mobile phone, sounds from the microphones and personal devices, and facial recognition data. They have an app now that can do all of these things. They have developed it, and they have the patent on this thing. The patent proposes numerous potential surveillance applications for this data, which include detecting when people are using public transportation by using geolocation and or regular start-stop movement that matches a public transportation profile, monitoring when people are washing their hands by analyzing sounds of water running or movement by a smartwatch, and checking whether people are wearing a mask by analyzing images taken during calls or others looking at screens of cell phones. Once the data has been gathered, the technology outlined in the patent analyzes the data and assigns a score to their electronic device. It suggests using this score to predict the potential level of super spreading activity of each individual. So you can see that this plague that is going on right now is the impetus for all of the things that are going in the end times. They're using this as a pretext in order to get into every single aspect of your life, including washing your hands. We'll go on. And it recommends vaccinating according to score. Not only does the patent suggest mass electronic surveillance of people to create a social credit style score that determines when they should be vaccinated, but it also proposes that the technology could be deployed as part of a dedicated mandatory app where the government may order the citizens to install a dedicated app on their smartphones or other smart devices to help the government with the logistics of the vaccination procedures. The patent adds that in some embodiments of this mandatory system, the app and or smart device is configured to inform on the user's location at all times and to communicate with adjacent smart devices to assess the interactions between users. For example, vicinity between users, movement of users, and so on. When it comes to factors that determine an individual's score, the patent suggests that a person's profession, medical data, the nature and type of locations they visit, their frequently visited locations, and the length of time they spend at locations should be used as part of the calculation. In some embodiments, subjects that are prone to frequent religious or secular events, listen to this, like in a synagogue, a church, or a mosque, or a dancing venue, where the people are in close proximity to each other and talk, pray, sing, and or breathe deeply, and or mingle more, will receive a higher score than those who do not frequent religious events. Man, you talk about bad stuff. That is it, right there. Okay, talking about bad stuff. It's a dangerous world, including the inevitable plagues the book of Revelation prophesies of. So let's see how that's developing. From the National Review, Kraft Heinz, Mondelez plan to hike prices for popular snacks and sweets amid rising inflation. So that's going up now as well. Mail Online, Thanksgiving just got more expensive. Tyson Foods will hike prices again to combat Bidenflation, with chicken prices up 19% and beef up 33%. From NTD, FDA reports over 100 drug shortages nationwide. The supply chain crisis is affecting the pharmaceutical industry also. Some basic drugs like insulin are running low across the country. Insulin. We can't get insulin across this country anymore. Greenwich Times says, in Taiwan, a boat burning festival aims to ward off sickness. Can it end the coronavirus pandemic? The reason why I added that in there is because they take, once a year, they have this boat that they burn. It's for their religious stuff over there. And it's, they make an actual Chinese junk. And they're always as beautiful as they can be. And they take them out and they burn them. And that's, they petition their God for whatever they want to petition that year. This year, it's for getting rid of diseases and stuff. And my thought is that they should just send that junk to me. Because since I was this big, I always wanted one. And I wanted to spend my life living on a Chinese junk. Didn't work out. I ended up getting married and going overseas in the military. But I've always wanted that. And if somebody ever buys me a Chinese junk, I will live on that baby. I just love them. They're the most wonderful boats. I actually, when we were in Japan, I flew to Hong Kong to look at a junk to sail back. And then we ended up adopting our children, and that fell through too. So, yeah. Yeah, it's true though, isn't it? I went to beautiful one. Beautiful. I was gonna sail it back.
The boat works as well as the shot.
The what? Yeah, the boat works as well as the shot. Exactly. Probably more effective. That's right. Okay, from Aaron Siri. CDC admits crushing rights of naturally immune without proof they transmit the virus. They admitted it. My firm, on behalf of ICANN, asked the CDC for precisely this proof, and he gave the document below. ICANN wanted to see proof of any instance where someone who had previously had COVID-19 became reinfected with and transmitted the virus to someone else. The CDC's incredible response is that it does not have a single document reflecting that this has ever occurred.
Shocking.
Not one. And they gave the document. See below, it says. In contrast, there are endless documents reflecting cases of vaccinated individuals becoming infected with and transmitting the virus to others, such as this study, and they cite that as well. And this study, and this study, and this study, and they keep citing the studies. It goes on and on. But it gets worse. The CDC's excuse for not having a shred of evidence of the naturally immune transmitting the virus is that this information is not collected. What? No proof? But yet the CDC is actively crushing the rights of millions of naturally immune individuals in this country if they do not get the vaccine on the assumption that they can transmit the virus. But despite clear proof the vaccinated spread the virus, the CDC lists restrictions on the vaccinated. The facts about natural immunity are simple. Every single peer-reviewed study has found that the naturally immune have far greater than 99% protection from having COVID-19, and this immunity does not wane. In contrast, the COVID-19 vaccine provides at best 95% protection, and this immunity wanes rapidly. Hence, we are on booster 3 in America. Some places are going to 4 now. I am no mathematician, but a constant 99% seems preferable to a 95% that quickly drops. And while the vaccinated readily transmit the virus, not so for the naturally immune. They've got all the studies there. Go to that article. Look it up. Epic Times. FDA to decide on Pfizer vaccine booster shots without hearing from expert panel. No witnesses, they're going to decide. The CDC recommended to the FDA yesterday, unanimous. Do it. Tell me there's not something going on in this world. Okay, the state of morality, which we just saw there, but it's declining. Here's some news on that. Zero Hedge, non-binary assistant professor calls for stigma of pedophilia to be delegitimized. Okay, a couple days later from the Daily News, professor behind controversial pedophile research placed on administrative leave from Old Dominion University. If it was anything about Christianity, he would have been fired. They just put him on leave, they'll shut him up, and then he'll be back to work teaching his nonsense.
Yes.
From Breitbart. Durham University is offering students, listen to this, Durham University, UK, is offering students lessons on how to be a prostitute. The university also noted that there's been an emerging trend of its graduates going on to join the sex industry. In a lengthy statement, the university denied encouraging prostitution, even though they got a course on how to do it, instead claiming to provide support to students who may face a social stigma in engaging in prostitution or related activities. Breitbart. Country Music Awards broadcasts its first ever gay kiss between TJ Osborne and boyfriend.
Yeah.
Breitbart. Marvel Studios executive indicates she will fight to put trans characters in Disney superhero films.
I hope they go broke.
They will, I hope. Well, they're going to go broke eventually, whether they do now or not. After the rapture, they're going to wish they hadn't done all this nonsense. From Fox News, New Hampshire high schooler allegedly suspended for saying there are only two genders sues the school district. Good. Epic Times, teen sues New Hampshire school over punishment for only two genders. Axios, study, teens and tweens are sharing more nude pictures. Breitbart, Miss Magazine, abortion is essential to democracy. That's Miss Magazine's priorities today. Gateway Pundit. Merriam-Webster Dictionary adds fourth trimester to describe newborns as more fetus-like than baby-like.
Wow.
Yeah, got to add in something that doesn't exist so that we can say something that doesn't mean what it means. Okay, some other news from around the world. And as I say each week, please be sure to check out the Superior Word sermons. Okay, from Just the News, border agents ordered to cease deporting Nicaraguans under public health emergency authority. Customs and Border Patrol agents received instructions on a new policy, effective immediately. The DHS would no longer allow deportations of Nicaraguan illegal aliens under the Title 42, a clause within the 1944 Public Health Services Law that allows the government to prevent the introduction of individuals during certain public health emergencies. All Nicaraguans entering the U.S. illegally, with some exceptions related to criminal history, will be released directly into the United States. Border Patrol agents and those in law enforcement told Just the News that the prohibition on deporting Nicaraguans will lead to a surge of Nicaraguans heading to the United States, as well as many coming from other countries claiming to be Nicaraguans, knowing they won't be deported under Title 42.
That's the plan.
That's the plan. They should all be in jail, every one of them. Every person in this administration should be taken, tried, and imprisoned. And if found guilty of treason, they should be given the punishment for traitors. Mail Online. Texas cops reveal that cartels are committing murders on U.S. side of the border. A woman was killed, mutilated, raped, and tortured right here on our side of the border. These people are still allowing this to continue. Mail Online. Minnesota principal allows boy to remain in class with two students he's accused of sexually assaulting. Vows to punish pupils for staging walkout and calls cops on parent who question his decision. School board refuses to discuss the issue.
Wow. Where?
It was in Minnesota, which isn't surprising nowadays. Epic time. Well, I got something coming maybe on the midweek report, maybe next week if I added in of something like this going on here in Florida. Epic times. COVID-19 pandemic key to rising inflation and must be controlled to bring levels down, says Yellen. The Fed. It's COVID-19. They're bribing the American people with the money that we have earned over the years, which has all been squandered away anyway, but it's all about COVID-19. Inflation isn't going to go away unless COVID-19 goes away, which it never will. It'll be a third and a fourth and a fifth booster, and then it'll be a new variant, and then it'll be a new shot. It'll never go away.
No.
Breitbart. Yeah, that's right. Smallpox next. Breitbart. Great Reset Watch. A cashless society is coming. As the world's economy emerges from the crisis caused by the pandemic, global elites have called for a great reset, including the Pope. One aspect of this globalist reset is a move to transition us into a cashless society. I know I brought this up in past articles. Got a new one here for you. Brownstone Research founder Jeff Brown spoke about what is motivating this latest push. If governments around the world could completely remove coins and paper currencies from the markets today, they absolutely would, Brown said. And the motivation is really simple. Most of the cash transactions that take place, governments cannot see. They cannot track. They have to trust that a business is going to pay taxes on those transactions. They have to trust that somebody that might sell their car in cash is going to report the sale and pay tax on that transaction. But so many of these transactions go unreported. And so there's a very material motivation for governments to be able to see, analyze, track, and tax every transaction. Now, remember that governments, it doesn't matter if they get all of that money, if they were to do this and they were to get all of that money, they would still be broke and they would still spend more. And you will never get ahead with any government. It's not going to happen. The pandemic became a catalyst for contactless transactions as businesses increased the use of phone apps and direct credit card payments in order to limit physical interactions. I never did that. There was a major push to make these things not only simple to use, but also in many cases required to use, aka Australia. However, this is just the very first step in the Great Reset's cashless society. The next step is to move to a digital version of the US dollar. Some people have referred to this as something like the Fed coin, where we use technologies, specifically blockchain technology, to create a digital version of the US dollar. The government and the IRS in particular is deeply motivated to create a great reset cashless economy because such a system lets government officials track every single transaction. It is an ultimate ability for a government to have centralized control over its monetary policy, how it's distributed, and how it's taxed, and how it's frittered away.
Right.
Epic times. Inflation, driven by Dems' big spending, hitting low-income Americans the most, says a GOP report. Zero Hedge, in shock closing statement, Rittenhouse prosecutor claims teen, listen to this, think about this, folks, lost the right to self-defense by carrying a gun. If you carry a gun, you lose your right to self-defense. That is being argued in the courts of the United States of America right now. I'll tell you something. That's why we carry guns. From GA, White House says higher gas prices show need for green transition. Yeah, create a crisis to push an agenda. Hey, man, he's cut pipelines. He's stopped flow of oil into us. We were the largest exporter of oil on the planet when Trump was in. We had our own ability to support our own economy with the oil that we produced, and that is all gone. Create a crisis and then find a solution to it. And give China Iranian oil, overlook the fact that they're not supposed to be getting it at reduced costs.
Wag the dog.
From Just the News. Despite supply chain logjams, infrastructure bill allocates $250 million to target truck emissions at ports. $250 million instead of just saying, let's get this thing fixed. Zero Hedge, Wyoming Republican Party officially, I know you know this, but it's just so good I'm going to read it again, disowns Liz Cheney.
Yay.
Yes. Zero Hedge, Florida school district abandons mask mandate after 8-year-old girl told them they should all be in prison.
Right.
Did you see that video?
No.
Little girl up there addressed the school and she raked them. She raked them. And she said, you should all be in prison. And after that, they decided to revoke the mask mandate. Smart young lady there, I'll tell you what. Okay, from the Washington Post. In first, Russian test strikes satellite using Earth-based missile. Times of Israel. Russian missile test causes debris cloud threatening International Space Station. Nope. AccuWeather. Astronauts shelter in space capsules as debris comes close to the space station. Yeah. Politico. Irresponsible act. U.S. wraps Russia after missile strike on its own satellite. Reuters. Russia starts missile supplies to India despite U.S. sanctions risk. Reuters. NATO warns Russia over Ukraine military buildup. Russia's pushing the buttons now because they can. That's right, because they can. Okay, who said it? I don't expect you to get it, but it's a good quote. Politicians are people who, when they see light at the end of the tunnel, go out and buy some more tunnel. Anybody? John Quinton. I don't know, but he got a good quote.
He nailed it.
Okay, I got a Lesrick here for you. Let's see if you can figure what he's talking about. There is wreckage that floats overhead, caused the Russians shot satellite dead. There's no stuff that is safe when their missiles can strafe. Now behind in the race we once led. Yeah, Russians are beating us. The Chinese are beating us. Our president is beating us. Ah, I shouldn't have said that. Biden is beating us.
Thank you.
Okay, from the Business Insider. This is just typical. I don't know how ironic it is, but it's typical. Denmark spent over $150,000 to rid a beach of debris and seaweed, then dumped it back in the water with the bulldozer. They cleaned it all up and just put it back in there. That's definitely a lefty that did that. Okay, now I got one more for you. You'll get the second line. We'll give you the real irony of it. Okay, from WZZM13, Reindeer Games. Deer jumps through window of Walker store. The deer was located by officers in the deer decor section of the store. It's hanging out with the deers.
I have no idea.
He had no idea about that. Okay. So I'd like to say something before we close. This week is Thanksgiving, and I'm very thankful for the people that have taken care of the Superior Word over these years. The people that attend, the people that have offered to help this church and kept us going for the past 10 years. I'm so thankful for all of you. It means a great deal to me. We started on the beach with three people when we actually became a church. We had many people when we did it in the afternoon, and one Sunday, I told the people, next week, we're moving to Sunday morning. If you attend a church on Sunday morning, I do not want you to come next week because I'm not here to rob people from other churches. And so three people were there that first day, and we kept meeting and we kept meeting, and finally we found this teeny little building here on Superior Avenue, and we've been able to stay open for 10 years, and I'm so appreciative. And so happy Thanksgiving to everybody, and such is the world in which we live. So from Sarasota, Florida to Ulaanbaatar, Mongolia, I'm Charlie Garrett, and that is your CG report for the week.